deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" It's interesting, in my Bible I have a note in my Bible. When I hear something that's said by different preachers, I'll make a note in that. And in this, I remember Mike Walski preached from this text, a missionary. He's now, you know, retired from the mission field. But he said, "Our disobedience won't limit God, but it will nullify our blessing." And that's what we need to remember with this. And Esther's is in the queen at this time. The application of this is that you need to know God can work out blessings and accomplish His will in any way, in any time that He sees fit. And I want you to realize the book of Esther, this takes place probably, it's between the time when Zerubbabel comes and rebuilds the temple and Ezra comes back to Jerusalem. It's probably right around Ezra chapter 6 and 7. It's approximately 476 BC. She's become the queen of Persia. And the king doesn't know that she's a Jew. He has no idea. So we're looking at the book of Esther this morning. And if you'd turn to Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2. And if you've read through your Bible, you read the book, it's a beautiful love story. I know one of my favorite sight and sound musicals that they did was the book of Esther. It was Esther, and the theme of that was "For Such a Time as This." And what we have here in Esther chapter 2, it says, "And after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, 'Let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair women, the young virgins of Shushan, the palace, to the house of women, unto the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleased the king be queen instead of Vashti.' And the thing so pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan, there in the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. And he'd been carried away captive. He was her cousin. He was Esther's cousin, like an uncle, and he was raising her because her parents had been killed. And see, they say he was the uncle. He was like an uncle. I'm pretty sure he was an older cousin with this. Okay, and so you turn around with this, and Mordecai raised Esther as his own daughter. The king was looking for a new queen. You know, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You know, and the first lesson you can learn from the book of Esther is don't ever think so much of yourself that you don't have to compromise in your marriage. Okay, just a simple little thing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, read chapter 1. You'll understand Vashti lost the kingdom because she thought she could rebel. She didn't believe she had to. Wives, be in submission to your own husbands in everything. And the thing is you can say, "Well, you're a man. You're saying that because then you're..." No, the submission is because you're submitted to God. Then you submit. And then God blesses you, even if your husband's a jerk. I won't ask any of you women to raise your hand if your husband's ever been a jerk before. We won't do that, all right? Judy's not in here because I know where her hand would be. Okay? But the thing is, the blessing is based off of obedience to God, and that's one of the things you're going to see throughout, you see out the book of Esther. Okay? So it's Esther. He's looking for a new queen. And Esther had been part of a beauty contest. I'm not reading the whole book of Esther. And she won. She was a beautiful woman. She was also beautiful inside and out. Okay? And she concealed her Jewish heritage. If you look at verse 10 of chapter 2, Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. You see right there, she obeyed the authority over her, and it protected her. Sometimes when kids don't want to obey you, you don't know, you know, if you're a good parent, what are you trying to do? Trying to protect them from what can happen. I want you to, when you read your Bible, look at all the practical applications of what's taking place. If you do not try to protect your children, I'm telling you right now, you're a lousy parent. Don't tell me you love them when you want to be their best friend. That can come later. You're the adult in the room, okay? Esther is a young, beautiful virgin. And she obeyed and listened to, for lack of better terms, her uncle Mordecai. Okay, and so we have that. And so let's see. Look at verse 15. See, we're jumping through quick. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come unto the king, she required nothing but that Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken into the house of Ahasuerus, into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So she's chosen. Then you find out that Mordecai hears about a plot to kill the king. He informed Queen Esther, and she informed the king. And say there was going to be a coup. There was going to be a murder. They were going to kill the king. They didn't like his rule and his reign. They were going to do that. He tells them, and now look at verses 21 and 22 of chapter 2. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, of the king's chamberlain, gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the thing was known unto Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. So she tells the king, my uncle Mordecai has told me this was taking place. He's heard this. So he's trying to protect you. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree. And it is written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. And so now you have this case. They're hanging. Mordecai wasn't rewarded for his great act. But it was written down in the civil record books, in the records of Ahasuerus' reign. It was written down that Mordecai had done this. And you always say, why do I make this point? Because many times what you will do that is right, and it may be a blessing and a help to someone else, you will receive nothing for it. Does that change that it's the right thing to do? No. Does it change that's what God would have you to do? See, you got to remember, blessing ultimately comes from who? From the Lord. And so this is that situation. You know, when somebody's always looking, I'm being truthful about this, but I kid with my wife all the time. If I do something, I go, did you see I made the bed this morning? Yeah, honey, that's nice, you know. And Judy has a sign, and it says, no man was ever shot washing the dishes and making the bed. We actually have that sign. And she turned around. You know, my wife finds that very sexy. She finds that romantic, that I do things like that. Men are peacocks. You know, we like to say, look what I finished. Look what I have done. And she goes, oh, that's so good. And we don't pay any attention to all the stuff that a woman has to do during a day. How many multitasking things they do, you know. But so men are like that. We're peacocks. Well, Mordecai didn't receive any recognition for this. But he was a God-fearing man, and he put it in God's hands. And so many times, you need to do right. No matter what you think, it may cost you with someone else. Because ultimately, you're here to please who? If you're saved, you're a child of God, but you're also a servant of God. And you should please the Lord. You can't get away from this type of thing. We're not always rewarded. There is rewards in the Christian life. The world thinks the more I get, the happier I'm going to be. The world teaches if I don't love myself, I can't love anybody else. The world teaches he who has the most toys wins. Especially in America. It isn't that way with God. You need to remember he keeps the books. There's so many churches, you know, they don't even teach a difference between the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. They believe there's going to be an ultimate judgment. They don't realize judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment of whether you go to heaven or hell. It's what you've done in your body after you got saved to serve the Lord. And God's the one keeping the books. Romans chapter 14. I'll do this quickly. It's not in the notes for the class, the material given, but Romans chapter 14. Along with this, I'm going to read this verse. I want you to realize when it comes time to do the Lord's table, the communion service, it tells us and says, so let a man examine his wife, so let a man examine his neighbor, so let a man examine his friend. No, so let a man examine. You are going to stand before God for you. You will stand before God at the great white throne judgment if you don't know Christ as Savior. And that's the key. You aren't written in the Lamb's book of life. You're sent to hell. God will show you all the stuff in your life to show you that you're a sinner. And you go to hell in the lake of fire. A Christian, he's judged in his obedience to his heavenly Father. We're not spend all our time looking at what someone else does wrong. Now, if someone's in deep sin, the Bible tells you how to deal with it, don't they? You try to restore them, they won't restore, you separate, right? It says in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now that's talking about believers standing before him. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in his body according as he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't want any confusion about this. It's not in the lesson, but I want you to understand this. There's rewards in the believer's life. You're going to be judged what you've done in your body. Can you do anything not in your body if you're alive and breathing today? First Corinthians chapter 3. Here we go. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God, we are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto you. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10 now. Given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of your salvation. Religious people, people try to do it through their own good works. He's not their foundation. They're building off their own weak foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort? The quality of it. What sort it is? The quality of their work. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. See, gold, silver, precious stones, they go through the fire, they have greater value. Wood, hay, stubble, it's gone. Doesn't follow you all the way through heaven. It's gone. It was the work that pleased your flesh. It didn't please God. You won't always be rewarded in this life, but you will be rewarded. Let's go back to Esther. Esther chapter 3. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had also commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. You know, it's the same thing that caused Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. Not going to give glory to who you're not supposed to give glory. Amen? Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said to Mordecai, "Why transgressest thou the king's commandment?" Now came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, that he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters should stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. And a Jew will say, we give reverence, we don't give honor or homage, we don't worship anyone but the Lord God of heaven. Okay? And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. He's an evil man. He's full of pride and arrogance. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. Okay? So he's arrogant. There was a law. It was the law of the Medes and the Persians. You're supposed to bow down. You break that law, you're supposed to be put to death. Guess what? God doesn't want us to bow down before anybody but him. You can obey the authority over you, because the Bible even teaches us in the New Testament, obey them that have rule over you. That doesn't mean you have to reverence them. It doesn't mean you have to worship them. It doesn't mean that you are to give them more power in your life, more authority in your life than you let and have God in your life. When the disciples were caught, the apostles, and they turned around and they're held in judgment in the New Testament in the book of Acts, they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So Mordecai's doing this. He got so upset, decided to kill all the Jews. He got the king to support his plan. Okay, and I want you to look in chapter 3, let's go. Verse 7. In the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur. Okay, that means, it says, that is the lot. They cast the lot. It was called pur. Before Haman, from day to day and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is the month of Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there was a certain people scattered abroad that dispersed among the people of all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. I want you to stop right there. We're going to go to verse 9, but you realize that, you know, you should take each person as an individual. I don't care their background. I don't care their family. You know what we do so many times? We judge people by their... We're supposed to judge them by their personal character. We judge them by their family. We judge them by their heritage. People get attacked all the time, emotionally. Because maybe they have a bad family. You know, you turn around and kids that come out of a poor, broken home, the father is a drug addict or a drunk, and those kids get mistreated in school. And sometimes the parents look down and say, you shouldn't be around those children. Instead of protecting your kids and making sure that you can show that child love. You understand what I'm saying to you? in this world, think about the people that you reject just because you don't like the way they look. I had someone I gave a tract to. This girl was tatted. I mean, she had tats on her neck, upper arms. She had different things written on her low-cut chest. She had tats on her legs. And I gave her a tract. And she's looking, she said, why would you bother? Because she already had a chip on her shoulder, right? To do that to herself, she's already been through some things, right? You know who she was? She was a person who had been hurt, had a horrible life, caused her to have aggression and anger. You know who she needed? She needed Jesus. My mother taught me growing up, and you know, it's an old saying, I'm finding out, the generation now does not know colloquialisms. They don't know old sayings because you didn't pass it on to them. Okay? There's a saying, don't judge a book by its... Apply that in your life. You never know how the Lord will open a door for you, how to change that person's life. You never know. He wanted to kill all the Jews because he got mad at one person. You ever get upset at somebody and so then you shun a friend of yours who is still a friend with them? You hear me? I think it was Richard Wurmbrand, you know, tortured for Christ, I can't remember, but there was one of them that were put in the concentration camps. And he said it took him years while he was in the concentration camps to realize that God was not the enemy of his enemy. God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any... Who does that any include? Any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So they cast lots. They wanted to kill him. Okay. So I'd stop there. Let's go back here. Chapter 3. If it please the king, verse 9, it written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have charge of the business to bring it to the king's treasuries. Kind of interesting today. We have a choice, two people that I don't agree with personally running for president. Okay, you choose who you want. One has lost millions of dollars to try to serve this country. Another has gained millions of dollars in the service of this country. Just think about that. Dr. Ruckman said a long time ago, if it doesn't make any sense, there's a buck in it. All right? And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also. Do with them as it seemeth good to thee. He bought the king off. Then the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and the governors that were over the provinces, to the rulers of every people, every province, according to the writing thereof, to every people that their language, in the name of King Hazarus, it was written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post, see, that's where we get their post office, unto all the king's provinces to destroy and to kill and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. Sounds like Haman could be from Iran. You see why I say that? Do you realize that Iran is the land of ancient Persia? Nothing new under the sun. The copy of the writing of the commandment given and published in every province, published unto all the people, that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. Going to kill them all. For sake of time, we won't turn there, but in Revelation chapter 13, 8, there's a ruler comes up on the world stage and is going to put to death everyone who won't bow down before him and everyone who won't take his mark. Nothing new under the sun. Living for God, pleasing God first, always takes courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's choosing to do right when you are afraid. Chapter 4, verse 1. When Mordecai perceived that this was all done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came before the king, even came before the king's gate, that none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. So he's crying out, gets back to him. Esther heard Mordecai was mourning. If we read a little bit down through this, in verse 4, and Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hetak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed, to attend unto her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was, because she was living in luxury. She didn't know what had been passed. She wasn't seen as a Jew. They didn't know that. So Hetak went forth to Mordecai unto the street and the city which was before the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened unto him and the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasury for the Jews to destroy them. And he also gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication before him and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law to put them to death, except whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. It would come out that she was a Jew. That was the law of the Medes and Persia when Ahasuerus gave that ruling. All Jews were to be killed. So eventually he's saying, you know what? You too. And that takes you to your memory verse. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall be an enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Because Mordecai is the one that Haman hated the most. Who do you think would be the first one slaughtered? And knoweth whether thou art come to this kingdom for such a time as this. Did Mordecai know that they were going to need Queen Esther to stand up for them? Did Esther know she was going to need to stand up for her people? Did Haman have any idea? Did the king have any idea? But there's one who knew the end from the beginning. So many times in a time of trouble, we think God doesn't see, or God doesn't know, or that God doesn't care. And you never know, maybe you are where you are for such a time as this. She's afraid she's going to be put to death. He basically tells her, God will bring deliverance by someone else. And she said holding her peace would give her no extra security. Her response after that, in verse 15, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go and gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days
night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. 3 days and three nights. She asked them to fast and pray for her, because it was her life put on the line. Now verses 1 through 3 of chapter 5. She goes in. She walks in. She obtained favor in his sight. He extends the scepter to her. She's able to go in. She was accepted by the king and granted any request she wanted. Go to Proverbs 21. We're coming back. Keep your finger in Esther. Proverbs 21. The Jews fasted and prayed. They were showing that this was serious. You know what fasting is for? It's denial of the flesh. So that you take serious what you were doing. That's what fasting is for. It's not a magic act. It's denial of the flesh and a surrender to the Spirit. They fasted and prayed for her. She fasted and prayed before she had to do the most important, dangerous thing in her life. How many times do we not take it as serious as God wants us to? Proverbs 21, verse 21. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it, what? Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. See? If ultimately God's in control, you look at America, you don't like what's going on, God gave you who you deserve. Because we worship the gifts more than the giver. What are we all upset about? Are we upset about the way that they attack our Savior and belittle Him? Are we upset about the way this country's denying God's will and way for people's lives? There's a lot more behind the transsexual movement than what you think is taking place. It is a rejection of God and His order. Are we always taking a stand for the things God would have us take a stand for? I'm not talking about get angry. I'm talking about telling the truth and speaking the truth in such a manner to show somebody, to help them know that they need to come to Christ. We get upset because, guess what? Gas costs us more. Food costs us more. We can't do what we want to do. They're going to tax this and that. We're upset because they're attacking our blessings. Not that they're attacking our blesser. In the meantime, Haman's building a gallows. We won't read verses 9 through 14. He's building a gallows to hang Mordecai on. He was going to be a big thing with that. He's going to hang Mordecai. That night, okay, let me see here. This is in chapter 5. He's going to hang him. Chapter 6, verse 1. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles. Isn't it interesting? All of a sudden, somebody's not able to sleep, and something comes to his mind. And they were read before the king, and it was found that Mordecai had told Bigthana and Teresh, two king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done." So now the king said, now this is Haman's building a gallows, he's going to kill him, right? And the king tells Haman, he comes into the court in verse 4, he's got the gallows hang ready for Mordecai. And the king's servant said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought it was in his heart to whom the king delighteth to honor more than. Pride goeth before a haughty spirit before the fall. And Haman answered the king, and for the king said, the king delighteth honor. Let the royal apparel be brought, and the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the royal crown royal, which is set upon his head, and let the apparel and the horse be delivered into the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man and with whom the king delighteth to honor. So he uses, Haman's one of my princes. Haman, you're going to lead the horse that Mordecai is on, and you're going to declare the king's honor on him. That's what this chapter is about. And he had to take him through. Isn't it funny how that God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the... Take Scripture and look at the application in Scripture. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. There'll be a day when the Lord will give you honor. So Haman gave that advice. He was humbled and humiliated, verses 10 through 14 in chapter 6. He had to lead him about. The banquet took place. Okay. In chapter 7, so the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen, and the king said again to Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request, and it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen, because you've got to remember, Haman thought he had a good ally in the queen. He didn't know that she was Jewish. O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. She's showing her allegiances to the children of God. We are sold, for we are sold, and I and my people to be destroyed, to be slain, to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwoman, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then King Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that thus presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make request of his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. And the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereof Esther lay. So now the king thinks he's, you had not gotten my riddle if you had not messed with my heifer. See, now where'd that come from? Samson. Okay. A man will forgive in the book of Proverbs one who steals from him, but he will not forgive the one who approaches his wife. Nothing new under the sun. Now the king's really mad. Guess what? Haman was hanged on the gallows he built to use on somebody else. Whatsoever man sows, I'm giving you scripture verses supporting over and over again what will take place based on where you put your value and where you put your heart, which will control your actions towards others. Haman was hanged. That's chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. He was hanged on the gallows. Verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath was pacified. Chapter 8. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give to the house of Haman the Jews' enemy unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. This is the man who's helped me to be the woman that you love. He raised me. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. And if it pleased the king, I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seemed to be right before the king, I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised of Haman, the king of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy all the Jews which are in the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come upon my people, or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then King Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him have they hanged on the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed it with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is, the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants. So it's got passed out through from India to Ethiopia. The ruling of the king of Persia from that time, the writing be, okay, and he wrote the king in his name and sealed it with the king's ring. The post sent it out. And he granted in verse 11 that the Jews which were in every city gather themselves together and stand for their life to destroy and slay and to perish all the power of the people in the province that would assault them, both little ones and women, to take a spoil of prey of them for prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 30th or the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, the copy of the writing for the commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the people, and the Jews should be ready against the day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post that rode upon the mules and camels went out. They hastened to possess the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. Isn't it interesting? Mordecai replaced Haman. The Jews were told they could fight back and defend themselves. And they did just that. Chapter 9, verse 5. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. What do we see going on today? The history of the world revolves around Israel. I will bless them that bless thee and curses them that curses thee. The press is trying to push how horrible it is what the Jews have done to the poor Palestinians. When the Palestinians, which they're not even really as a race of Palestinians, they've come from other countries and been brought there, are used by those who rule over them to hide their weapons and their bombs and their tunnels. And so the Jews go about to defend themselves. And guess what happens? Because of the choice of those who are trying to destroy the Jews, when you hear the saying, from the river to the sea, that means the total wipeout of God's chosen people, the Jews. There's millions of young people in this country today have been taught that at the universities that they go to. What you sow, you reap. They are doing what they need to do to survive. You can't be a Bible-believing Christian and not support Israel. I didn't say support every little act they did, but I said support Israel. You can be a Christian, you can make the choices you want, but if you can believe the Bible, the promise was, I will bless them that bless thee and curses them that curse thee. Genesis 12 on, the blessing of God comes that way. It's interesting. Remember I told you we looked at and I read the verse that casting lots was called what? Pur. Go to Esther chapter 9. Esther chapter 9. Let me see here. Verse 22. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting in joy and sending portions one to another in gifts to the poor. You know what it's called? It's a holiday. Look at verse 26. Wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, all the words of this letter and of that which is seen concerning this matter which has come to them. It's a celebration of where God brought them away from total destruction and allowed them to have victory over their enemies. They were protected by God. Genesis 12, and we finish. I can show you this in three other places. I won't take the time for that, but now the Lord said, verse 1, unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Every nation where the Jews are allowed to prosper and flourish, God uses them to bring blessing. If you do a study of the history of medicine in the Western world, some of the greatest, most important medical breakthroughs were found by Jews. Some of the things used to protect America were designed by Jews. Say what you want, God blesses them in so many ways. Now, and I will make thee a great nation, will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You find it in Genesis 27, verse 29, and Numbers 24, and verse 9. I will bless them that bless thee and curses them that curses thee. We are seeing, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. That which was before shall be again. The problem is, there's an old colloquialism, an old saying. The one thing men learn from history is that men don't learn from history. Don't let that be true of you. Because let God be true and every man a liar. There was an end coming to the Jews, and the only one who stopped it was God. Things are lining up for an end to come to the Jews, and the only one who's going to stop it is God. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. All God's people said, take a break.